Duncan, you are bigger than any problem you see. That is supernatural. It's so much more than that.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord, for all the testimony that flows in this area of this church. And the testimony that I am standing here tonight. And the testimony that all this Lord. Thank you, Lord. We want you to descend to that nation. We love you, Lord. And we're here to worship you and your word, Lord. Your life and your spirit. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I can just say first that, praise the Lord, I didn't have to do too much in this message. I went home after I spoke to Donnie last Sunday night, dropped to my knees, stood up, and the Lord just started speaking.
Yeah.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and I haven't had to doctor it or ruin it, and praise God. Okay. The message tonight is called The Father's Heart. This is a year of worship in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
We are called to worship in spirit and truth. Who are we called to worship? Our God, our Father, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are appointed as co-heirs and adopted as sons, our very own Father. How can you worship in spirit and truth, though, if you don't know your Father? Or if you've, like many people have, maybe had an abusive father, a drunken father, one minute he's loving and pouring affection over you, and the next minute he's battering you, telling you you're not good enough and you never will be. You never know what sight you're going to expect. You never know who's coming home. Or maybe you've been the abusive father, and that affects your relationship with your heavenly Father, because you just didn't know who you were. In the natural, you're just lost. How can you worship the Lord your God, your Father, in spirit and truth, if you do not know him and his heart? A couple of personal revelations I received about where the church is just now and our worship, that I believe just runs us along in line. We're called to the Lord to worship in spirit and truth. Not that he says, get down before me and do it, but we're called to learn, as Jesus tells us. Come and learn from me. We're called to learn how to love him. We're called to learn how to rebuild the church. Bless you. So I went home, I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, Donnie shared a message, I be out of who I am. And I went home and dropped in front of the fire and just started worshipping. And the Lord spoke to me instantly, I be out of who I am. And then he broke that message down. I be, his statement, we all are, out of who, question, I am. And of course, the Lord. We only are because he is.
Amen.
At 17:28, in him we live and move and have our being. And after this, I had just gone through this revelation, and the Lord declared that we are at the culmination of the spiritual year. We're only at the beginning of it, and yet we've come full circle already. Because when we know we are who we are, and we know who we are in him, we're at the full circle. Mm-hmm. We're already at the end of it, and we're only at the beginning, which I thought was huge and amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus, thank you.
And when Lorraine was here last week, singing Standing in the Fires of Your Presence, Lord, or whatever it's called, I sat down, and you know, sometimes I like to just soak in the worship.
Mm-hmm.
Not the songs, it doesn't matter, and the song or the singer or the writer or this or obviously the worship. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden I was in a vision, and I was standing there, and the Lord Jesus was in front of me, and I just dropped
a few babas.
And in the next second I was standing up, and the Lord started burning from behind him, you know, just like the burning bush, a consuming fire. and it wasn't consuming. And it was white, the light, and then it became reds and yellows and blues and pinks, and I mean just an engulfing ball of fire, like you get in a diesel factory or something. And I was standing there and I looked down, and all of a sudden my flesh started slipping away, and my bone was disintegrating, and the organs and everything went, and all that was left was a little flame, a little glowing spiritual flame in front of the Lord. I was a little flame. He was just this. Our God is a consuming fire. I mean, it just filled the whole vision of my mind. And I was a tiny little flame.
Jesus.
And I was told, that is the supreme love. Stripped bare, all that's left is the spiritual flame. And nothing can be done by anyone to make them any lesser more than the Lord. And that's exactly where the preaching's coming just now. The other day I was feeling, just like Donnie was bringing today, oh, I don't feel like something, I don't feel like I'm close to the Lord today, or something. And then this vision came to me, no matter what you feel, body, soul, spirit. And I believe that this message carries on exactly from where we've been, in the Father's heart. This vision clearly shows the Father's heart for us. We are called to come to the Lord, our Father, and worship in spirit and truth. And of course, in Revelation 4, we're shown how to worship in spirit and truth. And the 24 elders, and the four living creatures. And every time the Lord says something, you get down and worship. And then when the living creatures rise up again, the 24 elders sit down. And you can imagine them just sitting there, turning around to go, praise you, God. And a whole lot starting all over again. And worship in spirit and truth. Never been off the ground, apart from maybe to warm your bum a little. Although, in light of all that has been said, to properly and orderly worship the Lord, we need to learn it from His heart. We all have, to a certain degree, expectations of our children. Not expectations of what to do or say or how to act necessarily, but expectations that how we would like our love to flow among the family unit. Well, it's the exact same with the Lord. Our fundamental verses for this message of the Father's heart are Micah 6:6-8.
Mm-hmm.
With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with tens of thousands of rivers of olive oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has shown you, O mortal man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. When I was reading this, a parallel showed up, and it's of course the greatest commandment, to love the Lord your God and to love your neighbour, which is all here in Micah 6. And I saw the repetition, you know, Micah 6, greatest commandment. There's a lot of it in the Bible. And what came to me was, what's the repetition for? Is it because there's nothing new under the sun? And God doesn't need to bother? Is it because He's written everything in His Word and He doesn't need to try? Say anything new? What I received was, it's because of people's hardness of heart that makes Him repeat Himself through the Word.
Yeah.
And it's not because He hasn't done anything. It's not because there is anything new under the sun, but because we won't accept what He teaches and gives us. And this is what the Lord requires of you, O man. To act justly, this word has two senses. The first is to act with honesty, and second is to act in accord with moral and social standards. I have to add, not to be aligned with the moral or social etiquette of the day, not as the world is, but to be morally and socially honest before your God and in line with His word. Furthermore, acting justly is to do things with a God-given sense of right and wrong. Loving mercy is to embrace loving kindness in our hearts and to expand our hearts. To embrace loving kindness in our hearts, not only towards others, also towards ourselves. Mm-hmm. To truly forgive ourselves. Mm-hmm. To accept the forgiveness that we have been given. We have to expand our hearts inwardly and outwardly. Mm-hmm. Walking humbly from a worldview literally means in a humiliating fashion. And we see this as the Father's heart, that He is not a respecter of persons. Right. He cares not about the pride of man's heart, for what is man that thou art mindful of him? We are to not care how mocked or insulted we are for our faith. Give up any name we think we hold dear, for in Christ, as the vision showed, we are stripped. We are stripped bare, and furthermore, He recalls us. A few examples from the Father's heart for us is surely to flow from the Lord Jesus. John 8:54-58. Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you, but I do know him, and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You're not yet 50 years old, they're saying. You're a madman. And you have seen Abraham. Very truly, I tell you," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." We can see how much the Lord was humiliated in a lot of instances. And we can see how much we would be humiliated walking into the very hospital and saying to somebody who's on morphine and on antibiotics and this and that, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk, saying our marriage that's totally destroyed. In the name of the Lord, you can be rebuilt. Yes. We can see how absolutely, but we can see ourselves, the way we'd have acted previously before we met the Lord, to somebody who'd spout worldly madness like this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're called in the Lord to humble ourselves. Amid all of Jesus' claims and examples, I will tear down the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. I am the Son of God. How humiliated he was upon the cross. How deeply humiliated he was upon the cross.
Mm-hmm.
This is the Father's heart. Have you hung upon the cross for a while in spirit anointed meditation? Have you heard the insults? Have you felt the pain? Have you felt the pain from the cross? From all your personal cross? Have you opened your weeping, drenched, hurt eyes and gazed upon the crowd? And have you seen yourself staring back and shouting abusively?
Mm-hmm.
As I was meditating on that part, I received the words of a song, and I couldn't remember the name of the song. Anyway, I found it, and I was going to come along and read verse 2, as I thought that was quite apt. And verses 1 and 3 seemed apt as well, as I pondered on it more, and I thought to myself, well, I'll read the whole song. And the Lord said, "Andrew, what are you?" Never uses Andrew, it's came in, and what are you liking? And I looked at the top of the page, or the name of the message, and writing the message he gave me was myself. What are you liking about right now? I always said, and then to humiliation. How you humiliate yourself, he said. Songs are not written to be spoken. Songs are written to be sung. And I said, okay, Lord. I hate my voice. Even after two or three bottles of whiskey, I wouldn't be going to the karaoke. But from the Father's heart, and from the cross, and from the humiliation, and from the pain, and from the immense outpouring of love, this hymn just speaks. I'm not saying you would pay to come and hear the singing.
Did we sing it in Oakland?
What matters here is the Lord said it to me.
Yes.
I promised. And there's been no game back since then.
Yeah.
So, truths don't matter. How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a and to be done, or said, or spoken, or even what needs to be shown, and if you shrink that. And I suppose for many years it was sort of a period of humiliation that I was an addict, and it's the same with many people. Many people use many things. And there's a work here that calls for the humiliation to be brought back. to know the Father's love for me. To know the forgiveness. From the cross perspective where that hymn had us flowing in and out of the Father's heart. Has Christ forgave all? Have you forgiven? Have you forgiven yourself? Have you accepting all the Lord has done for us? And that, if that was looked into alone, how pastoral, how deep. Oh, sorry I hit you. I never meant to hit you. Oh, it was a bruise. Not saying anything about the actual reason why I did something. You know, not something happened in my life. And I used the bruise to cope. And the hitting people came out of that. And we can all apologise for it. Oh, sorry the husband battered his wife. It was just how stressed it was at work, honey. And then the dinner wasn't ready. And it's not because of the deep-seated pain. That's what causes it, but he won't speak it. Have you forgiven the deep-seated pain that you won't speak about? The deep-seated pain that I didn't even know about until I went inside and started looking inward. The deep-seated pain that Christ died for. Not. Oh, sorry, Lord, I did that wrong. Oh, forgive me. Thank you for the cross. But the deep, pastoral, caring, nurturing, and loving pain that Christ died for. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. We so often say, can we justly, mercifully, humbly accept his forgiveness? Can we love mercy to ourselves? Can we accept total humiliation and the love of God that lets us even forgive all we have done? Even though a lot of the time we don't want to accept forgiveness, the bitterness and the pain is an emotional, soul-centered stronghold. It is a salve to the natural man, to the body and the soul. It's humiliating to give that up because it's all you've ever known.
Yeah.
That is not the Father's love, but yet it's most of our first loves. We've forgotten our first love, we're told. Because we can't get rid of the old. The crushing iniquity. But we know who we are from it. Because it's all we've ever been. Whom the Son sets free, it is free indeed.
Hallelujah.
John 8:36. And we can look at your Luke 22:31 and the following verse. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he'd applied,
I think, forever. I'm not going to need that. Anyway,
doesn't matter. He'd applied. Doesn't matter what he applied. Simon Satan has asked to sift you all as wheat. If you're going to sift as wheat, you need to have the seed and you need to crush it. Which tells us we're already powder. We all have been, or maybe in a certain sense, need to be crushed. Not that the Lord will allow us to be sifted, but we all need to be crushed. Or we cannot talk or preach of healing if we haven't been healed.
Sorry?
We haven't been healed. Healed. If we haven't been crushed. We are ground. And we are ground down. But yet we will be risen up. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith won't fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. Strengthen your brothers through what? Through the crushing you took. Through the pain you embraced. Through the journey you went through to get to where you are, to the point that you can strengthen your brothers. And once you're there, act justly, love mercy.
Yeah.
Walk humbly with the Lord your God. For everything else you've been through, what on earth is humiliating now when you've been crushed? This leads us on to, who are you? I heard preaching in this church a few times about your ID in the Lord, your identification in Christ. For what did the demon say? Acts 19:13-16. Who are you? Acts 19:13-16. If we don't know the love of the Lord, we can't worship in spirit and truth. And if we don't know who we are in the Lord, well, there are warnings to heed. I'll give an explanation after this, because the scripture could be slightly out of context, you could say. Some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus upon those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered him, Jesus I know, and Paul I know about, but who are you? And the man who had the evil spirit trumped their name and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. Now, I know that they never knew the Lord. It's quite obvious from the way they talk. They were not born again believers. They didn't have the Spirit in them, but yet, there is a poignant question there. If you don't know who you are, and go into a situation, and you were asked, would you know? Would you be able to answer? Do you know truly you're the child of God? Do you know all that He has done for you and you've accepted? Or would you stumble and fall? Oh, but I must have a good time. When I say you, I mean we. It's not, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This message is more for me than anyway. But just the way I talk. You know who you are in Christ. Can we truly worship in spirit and truth if you don't know who you be? Philippians 2:12-15. There's homework involved here, unfortunately. therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but how much more in my absence, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Continue to go into your prayer closet and pray to God. And we never know who we can be hurt. Naturally or supernaturally, continue to work at your salvation. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
Mm.
It is God who works in you. Do not quench the spirit. It is God who works in you. But yet we have a work to do as well, to go before him, to learn from him. If we are going against what God tells us to do due to emotional blindness of spirit, then, as the word says, we are blaspheming against the Lord and quenching the very spirit of life. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-24. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Do not quench the spirit, do not keep prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Mm-hmm. Hold on to what is good, and reject every kind of evil.
Mm-hmm.
May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who called you is faithful.
Hallelujah.
If we know the Father and we know his heart and we know nothing else matters, what is the Father's heart for us? Malachi 1. Prophecy, the word of the Lord through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? All this pain, the quietness I hear and the steady of your voice. How have you loved me? Look what happened in my family. Oh, look who I was. How have you loved me? There's so many questions we might admit. If we actually say what we do, I do. I know I do. I can only talk from my heart and my spirit. I have loved you, says the Lord. But you ask, how have you loved us? Wasn't Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called a wicked land, and people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father, a slave his master. If I am a father, where does the honor do me? If I am a master, where does the respect to me?
Mm-hmm.
Ask the Lord Almighty. Is it you priests who show contempt for my name? But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I had a good week. I'll give the Lord a little bit. 10%.
Oh, seems an awful lot.
I'll do, or I owe you 2, and I'll give 12 next week. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors so that you would not light useless fires on the altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord Almighty. I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. If you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled, and that its food is contemptible, and you say, what a burden. You sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. And when you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable meal in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. Father's heart, Malachi 3:10. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. You can even be bold enough to test the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not drop. Before their, will not drop their fruit before this rain, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, but yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. Your wallet, your cash, your health, justice, teaching to me, your relationships, those built and not yet built. The name of the Lord, through the giving to the Father, out of your love, out of your knowledge of who you are, and not in him, but because of him. The Father's heart, I'd like you know, like Habakkuk 3:17, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, though that I'm natural is completely barren. Although you go in a Tesco and there's no bread, and there's been no deliveries, and there's been a plague to crops, and there's not even milk, there's not even that soya stuff. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord. Yet will I rejoice in the Lord, because we know above anything else whatever Father's heart is. Who we are in him.
Yeah.
How we are so free. And that's the point from where we know we can worship the Spirit of Truth. And we know that we can come to the Lord and learn of his yoke. And we can know it's not only on the Sabbath morning that we do it, when we worship in the Spirit of Truth. When we're talking to our friends at work, when we're sitting on our own, when we're in the bathroom, it's our life that we're called into. And just like this message, we really need to do nothing, because the Lord has done it all. Do we love our Father so dear, our dear Lord? I say dear Lord, do I mean it? Do we love our Father so dear, to know that all comes from him? Do we love the dear Lord so much that we give him the best and most of everything, without the thought of other silly things, like tax and this, and food, and dare I say it, even tobacco, because we know that the Lord will pour his back. We know God, get all our tithes. All our tithes. Because knowing the Father's heart, we then have that most blessed assurance. And purely due to his reciprocal love, all we pour into God, he increases, multiplies, and pours back onto us. Pressed down and shaken and overflowing.
Jesus.
This is the Father's heart. And actually, I was meant to use Habakkuk 17 to 19 at the end. But there we go. We ad-libbed a little bit. But do we know the Father's heart to trust in him and love him or without end? How can we preach anything of the gospel if we don't know it? And if we do know it, and that's all we walk in, all the blessed assurance, all of Deuteronomy 28, preaching comes secondly, because it's outpouring. Didn't you used to be? Weren't you? Wasn't he? The outpouring speaks volumes. Praise the Lord.